All right, welcome to the Situation Update for Friday, November 19th, 2021. Mike Adams here. We've got quite a few interesting announcements today. In earlier podcasts, several weeks ago, I asked you to send in your interesting dreams, your vivid dreams. And I have recorded a separate 40-minute podcast where I go through, I think, the most vivid dreams and the patterns of dreams that our listeners here are sharing with us. So look for that podcast. I think I called it the Prophetic Dreams Update. And that's going to be posted separately from this one. And it's quite fascinating. There are some fascinating and disturbing themes in a lot of these dreams, but also a few little pieces of good news. But I got to tell you, I'm blown away. I'm so impressed with the people who listen to this podcast. And as I say in that explanation, you are informed, you are intelligent, and you are sensitive, which means you are connected. You're connected to nature. You're connected to God. You're connected to other living beings. You're connected to the world around you. And because you are sensitive, you are able to tune into information through dreams and other means, by the way, that a lot of other people don't notice. And as you know, you've heard me talk about how I can't stand laundry fragrance and dryer sheets and perfumes and body lotion and everything. I forgot to mention that what goes along with that is also another kind of sensitivity. So people who are hypersensitive to chemicals are very often also extremely sensitive to other living conscious beings. And this is why, if you've ever wondered this about me, for example, you know, I'm a firearms expert in many areas, long-range target shooter, you know, very, very skilled at firearms, but I'm not a hunter. I can never kill another living creature as an act of sport, for example. And why is that? Well, it's because I'm incredibly sensitive to other living beings, and I could never take the life of, you know, even a wild hog just for fun or just for sport. And what goes with that, that hypersensitivity, is also the ability to be connected to information that's coming in. And there's different ways to describe that, and perhaps you share many of those properties with me, and you'll find this. A lot of us are real sensitive to fragrance, and we're real sensitive to like loud music. I could never stand to go to rock concerts. This is just too loud. Why do we want to be blasted with all that? I could never stand the smell of cigarette smoke, for example, from people. Just couldn't stand it. Hypersensitive to the world around me. And if you share some of that with me, understand that God has a plan for us. We have a role in society, and we are the early receivers of information that's coming to us through many different sources. We are the ones who pick up on what's happening with other conscious beings or what's happening cosmically through information. And that information could come to us through many ways. For some people, it's dreams. For other people, it's a literal auditory voice from time to time. And no, I'm not just talking about people who have had too much, you know, crack or whatever, and they're hearing voices. I'm talking about people who might receive auditory information. Some people might receive visual information. Some people might receive emotional or empathetic information, or it might come to them through other means. Some people actually express connection when they're writing. You know, they get impressions of ideas and concepts as they're typing or writing, and then it feels like they're being told what to write by God. I guess if someone's like demonically possessed, then maybe it's a demon doing the writing too. That's probably Pope Francis. You know, when he's speaking, it's probably Satan speaking through him. But we don't allow that to happen to us. You know, we just reach out to light and life, like God and Jesus Christ, those sources of information, and we reject everything that's rooted in darkness and Satanism and Luciferian garbage, right? So we always have to be careful about that. But we don't have to be afraid to be sensitive if we have already committed our lives to godliness and to being good and to having ethics and morals and so on. Then we have that angelic protection. But I didn't mean to get into all this right now. I just want you to know that other podcast is available if you want to check it out. Interesting stuff. Okay, let me shift gears here because we've got, of course, quite a bit to cover. A couple of announcements. Starting from Thanksgiving through the new year, I am going to attempt to limit my podcast to 15 minutes per day for that time period because I must finish the low-tech resilient prepping book, and I have another very important book that I also need to finish recording during that time. So my goal is to come out of the new year with two more audiobooks for you. They will, of course, be free. They will be transcribed. You'll be able to download a PDF and the audio files, and it'll all be, of course, free of charge, just like Survival Nutrition and the Global Reset Survival Guide and all the audiobooks we have right now. So I'm going to limit to 15 minutes a day, or at least strive to do that. I'll try to cover just the top most important stories in that 15 minutes. The exceptions will be if something big happens, whatever that might be, then I will, of course, do a more extended, in-depth podcast. But beginning the day after Thanksgiving, you can expect my podcast to become only 15 minutes in duration until we get to the first week of January. All right. Now, I want to cover the term purebloods. This is a term that's now gaining popularity. It means people who have not been contaminated with the COVID vaccine. So I'm a pureblood. You're probably a pureblood listening to this. And this term is gaining widespread and rapid acceptance, and you might want to use it yourself. Now, the blood of the vaccinated is, of course, contaminated with not only spike protein, not only perhaps nanotech structures of some kind that perhaps we don't yet understand, self-assembling nanostructures, but also mRNA instructions that take over the body's cells and can, in some cases, also infect or alter the nuclei of the body's cells. And as you may recall, in a big story that I covered, I don't know, what was it, 2 weeks ago now, I talked about the damage to the nucleus of the cell and the suppression of the DNA repair mechanism. This is a key theme to understand in all of this, because DNA repair is, of course, necessary for any for genetic integrity of any human being. Now, okay, so purebloods have their genetic integrity protected and intact. And because their genetic sequences are still functioning, because they have their functioning DNA repair mechanism still working, remember the one I mentioned, NHEJ, the non-homologous end joining mechanism that repairs what are called double strand breaks or DSBs in your chromosomes, right? So normally when we're subjected to ionizing radiation of any kind, i.e. sunlight or mammograms or riding in an airplane at altitude, you're getting ionizing radiation. You're having some DNA breaks, some chromosomal double strand breaks, and your body's natural repair mechanism, the NHEJ mechanism, repairs that DNA. And therefore, you maintain genetic integrity and you can continue to live and reproduce and have healthy functioning blood, and your body's cells and protein sequences and organ systems and so on continue to function in an organized manner. But when you take the vaccines, especially the mRNA vaccines, and your body begins to manufacture spike protein, the spike proteins invade the nuclei of your cells, and there they suppress the DNA repair mechanism. And from that moment forward, you have about a 90% suppression of DNA repair, which means that when you are subjected to mammography or sunlight or riding in an airplane at altitude or anything else, 9 out of 10 times your body fails to repair that damage because you have that 90% suppression. And from that, you are no longer someone of pure blood. You can't call yourself a pure blood human at that point. Now your blood has lost its integrity because, well, your genetics have lost integrity. You are no longer viable to reproduce. You can no longer repair your cells. You will begin to mutate. you'll begin to grow tumors and so on, unless you can get rid of all the spike proteins and get rid of the mRNA. But that's not the subject of this podcast. Some people believe there are ways to do that. Maybe they're right. But most people who took the vaccines aren't even pursuing that anyway. They still think they're fine, you know, until the moment they die. But if we have purebloods, what would we call those who have contaminated blood, who can no longer even expose themselves to sunlight without fear of their bodies disintegrating at the cellular level? Well, in mythology, there's a name for creatures like that. Think about it. Creatures that cannot be exposed to sunlight or their cells begin to disintegrate. What are those creatures called? Well, vampires or undead. So vampire creatures, if sunlight hits them, their skin disintegrates. This is exactly what we are seeing from the spike protein vaccine. Your skin, your cells, your DNA disintegrates. You have the double strand breaks, and from there your body rips itself apart with, you know, disorganized replication, tumor growth from the inside, and you become just, you know, a mutant who eventually dies. So in the mythology of the vampire, what is it that the vampires need to feed on in order to remain alive? Of course, they feed on other people's blood. And what does God say about blood in Leviticus, Old Testament? It's that you should never eat or drink the blood of an animal, because the blood is where the life is. The life essence is actually in the blood, not in the brain, as Western societies have come to believe. They think that your life is in your head, like consciousness and so on. They think because you perceive the world through two eyeballs that are at the front of your head, most people think that their essence of life is in their skull. That's not the case at all. It's actually in your blood. And God told us that in the Old Testament. And this is why you should never drink the blood of other animals, because you're confusing their blood life essence with your own blood life essence. And you shouldn't, not a good idea. Vampires have to consume the blood of other people in order for themselves to live, because their blood has been contaminated through some kind of unnatural process to where they can no longer regenerate their own blood. That's why they have to feed on blood. They can't make their own. And the same thing is true with spike protein injected people. They're not going to be able to make their own blood cells that are congruent, that have genetic integrity, you see. So they're going to have outside sources. They're going to have blood transfusions in the hospital. They're going to have immune system transfusions via more spike protein injections, for example. And if you have, if your blood is mutating, what is that called? What is blood cancer? Well, leukemia, for example. So leukemia is the name for typically what's called a blood cancer, or a cancer of the blood-forming bone marrow structures in the human body. And it means that your bones are no longer producing genetically intact blood cells, that you've lost the genetic integrity. And again, what's going to happen from the spike protein suppressing the NHEJ mechanism, the DNA repair mechanism? Well, of course, loss of genetic integrity in making blood. Now, this gets even more interesting. So what we've arrived at so far here is that spike protein vaccines can turn people into metaphorical undead vampires. Like, that's the metaphor. I'm not saying literally Dracula, but metaphorically undead vampires that will have to feed on other people's blood in order to survive themselves. And if they go into the sunlight, their bodies will disintegrate because they can't handle sunlight ionization radiation, okay? And I don't mean disintegrate in mere seconds like you see in the vampire movies. I'm talking about over a period of time. And again, a lot of the movies and the comic books and the mythos of every culture, they tend to compress these themes or to exaggerate them, you know, like superheroes and so on, and the monsters and the Frankensteins and everything else. But there's an element of truth to it all, and that's what we're getting at here. Vampires and undead have lost genetic integrity. They've also lost their connection to God and spirit. They are no longer human creatures. They no longer have the human spirit. But there's something else that's important to understand here. If you go back to Genesis, what was Eve made out of? Eve, the first Eve in the Garden of Eden. What was Eve made out of? Eve was made out of the rib of Adam. Why the rib? Because inside the rib is the bone marrow. Inside the bone marrow is, of course, the blood manufacturing stem cells that create, that have the DNA blueprint of humanity's genetic integrity. So the reason a bone was used to replicate a man into a woman and changing the XY into an XX chromosome is because the rib, the bone marrow, is where the blood is made. Okay? So it's fascinating. The more you understand about biology and science, the more the Bible even makes sense, because you know, it's not like, oh, let's just take a bone and make another person. No. The blood cells are in the rib. And in order for humanity to have offspring, i.e. to replicate, to have babies, you have to have genetic integrity from generation to generation. And that is governed by the blood and the ability of DNA repair. It is this ability that's being attacked by the vaccines, by the spike protein. This is an attack on the genetic integrity or genetic sustainability of the human race. So now if we go back to the concept of what are pure bloods, here's the upshot that I have to share with you. If you are a pure blood person who has not taken the vaccine, you must not reproduce with a vaccinated person, because their blood has lost genetic integrity. They are no longer viable. Their offspring will be mutants. They've lost it. They are now, from a blood point of view, kind of like the undead. They cannot repair their DNA, which means that they cannot contribute to a genetically viable child, especially across multiple generations. When you consider that, for example, a female unborn child that's being formed in the womb of her mother, that female is forming the eggs in her own ovaries at the time that her body is being formed in her mother's body. And when that baby girl is born, she is born with all of the eggs that she will ever have in her entire life, which means that the genetic integrity of her mother determines the genetic integrity of two generations, the daughter and the grandchildren also at the same time. And this is why the genetic integrity of the mothers is even more important than the genetic integrity of the fathers, because the fathers are making sperm each day, and they have plenty to spare. And if a father or a father-to-be changes his diet and lifestyle and so on, his sperm quality will be almost instantly impacted within days or weeks. But if a woman changes her diet and lifestyle, her eggs are not going to change, because they were already formed by the diet of her mother when she was a baby inside her mother yet to be born, you see. So, okay, I know there's a lot here. There's a lot to deal with here. So let me back up and hit some summaries. Point number one, there is no civilization of human beings without genetic integrity, period. And point number two is that the spike protein vaccines attack the genetic integrity of the body, of the body's cells, and they suppress the DNA repair mechanisms, which results in, of course, broken DNA, lack of good genes, and then mutations and so on. Point number three is that those who lack DNA repair mechanisms will be unable to go into sunlight or to be exposed to even everyday chemicals or to go on airplanes at altitude and fly on commercial jets and so on without suffering extensive DNA damage that they will be unable to repair. And then point number four is that if you want to have a future family line, you must be a pure blood. You have to protect the integrity of your blood, i.e. your genetic code. Although I realize that blood cells don't have nuclei. I'm talking about more than just red blood cells. I'm talking about your organs, your tissues, the genetic essence of your entire body through which your blood flows. And then remember that blood is manufactured in your bones, such as your femur. And blood cells do not replicate themselves. They live a short while, they die, you urinate them out, and your body makes new blood cells, and it has to have proper genetic template in order to make new cells. So genetic integrity is absolutely necessary for you to remanufacture blood because you're losing blood every day. Some amount of it. You're just peeing it out. Okay, and just to confirm that here, I'm just searching this and bringing this up from a Stanford website here. So red blood cells live about 120 days in the human body, and then they're removed from circulation automatically. That's when their membranes start to show wear and tear. And there are millions of red blood cells in a single drop of blood, and they're produced in the bone marrow of large bones at the rate of 2 million per second. Okay, you got that? So you are making 2 million red blood cells per second, which means you're also urinating out about 2 million red blood cells per second on average. The next time, you know, the next time you urinate, you're catching up with that time clock there. So anyway, your body's making a lot of red blood cells and you're losing a lot of red blood cells. So you have to have a genetic template to do that. All right, as all of this is happening, the electromagnetic field, or what's called the magnetosphere of planet Earth, is shifting dramatically. And you may be aware of this, but the magnetic poles are meandering. they're moving quite dramatically. And of course, there have been magnetic pole shifts throughout Earth's history for, well, hundreds of times that we know of, spanning many millions of years, at least according to mainstream geologists. And they can see the constant flipping of magnetism in lodestone rocks and so on at different layers as they're digging into rock samples and so on. So they will tell you that, yeah, there have been pole flips of the magnetic poles. We're not talking about the physical poles yet, but magnetic poles have flipped many, many times throughout Earth's history. A couple of things that most people don't know about the magnetic pole flips. Number one, it's not a simple thing. It doesn't just happen all at once. The poles actually take time to flip, i.e. many thousands of years. And during that time, there's a lot of chaos in the magnetosphere, which creates weaknesses in it. It's kind of like a lot of turbulence where it hasn't fully flipped yet. And so there's not good cohesion in the magnetosphere. And anytime there is a disturbance in the magnetosphere, it allows more ionizing radiation to reach Earth's surface from the sun. So normally the magnetosphere protects Earth from most of the ionizing radiation from the sun. But when the magnetosphere, when it becomes weak, you get a lot more ionizing radiation striking Earth's surface. And that ionizing radiation then becomes a lot more harmful to people and plants and animals. You get mutations in all kinds of living systems. But in that environment, if you are a person who has been injected with a spike protein vaccine and you can no longer properly repair your DNA, then you're in real trouble. Big time trouble. for all the reasons we've talked about. So then the question you might wonder is Earth's magnetosphere weakening right now? So the answer is yes. And here's an article from 2014 on livescience.com. Earth's magnetic field is weakening 10 times faster now. So I want to read you a couple of lines from this article. Earth's magnetic field, which protects the planet from huge blasts of deadly solar radiation, which is what I just explained, has been weakening over the past 6 months, according to data collected by a European Space Agency satellite called Swarm. I'm sorry, it's an array of satellites called Swarm. The biggest weak spots in the magnetic field, which extends 370,000 miles above the planet's surface, have sprung up over the Western Hemisphere, while the field has strengthened over areas like the Southern Indian Ocean, according to the magnetometers aboard the Swarm satellites. So you got that? So, in other words, there's less magnetic protection over the United States, but more magnetic protection over, let's say, India, China, and Southeast Asia, and so on. So the scientists who conducted the study are unsure why the magnetic field is weakening, but one likely reason is that Earth's magnetic poles are getting ready to flip, said Rune Flaberhagen. Flaberhagen, maybe, the ESA's Swarm mission manager. And no, I'm not making up this dude's name. Rune Flaberhagen. In fact, the data suggests magnetic north is moving toward Siberia. And he says, Flaberhagen, says such a flip is not instantaneous, but would take many hundred, if not a few thousand years. Gosh, it's as if he just listened to my podcast here. But and what's funny is I just brought up this article, you know, a minute ago. He says they have happened many times in the past, so that scientists know magnetic north shifts. Once every few hundred thousand years, the magnetic poles flip, so on and so forth. Okay, so are you starting to put the pieces of the puzzle together? The magnetosphere is weakening over the Western Hemisphere. At the same time, a spike protein injection is being introduced into the Western Hemisphere via, quote, vaccines following a pandemic. And one of the primary effects of this spike protein is to suppress DNA repair mechanisms in the cells of the human body. And why might someone need to repair their DNA? Because there's more ionizing radiation reaching the surface of the Earth because of the weakening of the magnetosphere, which is being reported by the European Space Agency satellites. And that weakening is again happening mostly over the Western Hemisphere. Okay. Now, at the same time this is happening, we have cloned, aborted female human fetal cells that are used to make vaccines. So we have female cells in many of the vaccines. I'm not talking about the mRNA vaccines in this case because they don't contain human cells in them, although human cells are used for research. But I'm talking about many other vaccines, such as MMR vaccines and so on. They contain female, cloned female human cells. And one of the plausible theories of what's happening right now in terms of transgenderism is that as these young boys are being injected with more female cells that are in the vaccines, then you have transfection, a taking over of the DNA of the cells, in some cases, where a young male is implanted in certain cells with the female chromosomes. And then they begin to express the female gender. And this is one explanation, and there are several. You know, there's also chemical castrators in herbicides, such as atrazine. That is a chemical castrator. But there's also this DNA mechanism through vaccines, this transfection mechanism that many people suspect could be turning young boys into a more female phenotype expression. And that this may be why so many young males are believing that they're gay or they're transgender. And again, there can also be chemicals such as plasticizer chemicals, hormone disruptors, estrogen mimickers that are in a lot of food packaging. And then there are, of course, also cultural influences such as every movie now has to have like a lesbian sex scene or a gay scene. Like every movie's become Brokeback Mountain now for some reason. I was watching this Dope Sick series, this Hulu series, starring Michael Keaton. And this is about the horrendous nightmare of opioids and Purdue Pharmaceuticals and the Sackler family and everything. And I got to say, it's a very good series. It's very good. Michael Keaton just, you know, A++, did a great job. But of course, they had to have a lesbian sex scene, and they had to make one of the key themes about it, you know, this lesbian girl being shamed by her Christian father, you know, and all of this, because you can't have a series now, you can't have a movie that will be accepted by leftists unless it's full of transgenders and lesbians and gays and so on. I mean, it's just, it's in every movie now. It's in every series. And it's just gratuitous. And like, you think you're watching a movie about earthquakes, but it's really about lesbians. You think you're watching a movie about aliens? That's really about lesbians and transgenders. You think you're watching a movie about the opioid crisis? It's about lesbian sex. You know, that's what everything has become. But behind all of that, the causes are the things that I'm talking about here. Genetic transfection, chemical exposure, chemical castrators, pesticides, and so on. This is the pollution of our world, but not just the chemical pollution, the genetic pollution. And what's the end result of this? Think about everything we've talked about here. The spike protein, increased ionization due to the weakening of the magnetosphere, suppression of the non-homologous end joining mechanism, transfection from the, you know, the female cells, aborted human fetal cells in some of the vaccines. What's the common theme here? It is the destruction of the genetic integrity of the human race. This is a genetic war on humanity. And right now, they've probably taken out half of humanity just in terms of non-viability. So this is the Bill Gates special on steroids right here, where Bill Gates just wants people to be infertile, just wants humanity to stop reproducing, and then people will naturally die off. And then, you know, Bill Gates knows he can cut the world's population in half in essentially one generation or so by just causing widespread infertility through a lack of genetic viability. This is what we're seeing, folks. This is what we're seeing. So the future of the human race belongs to the purebloods. Who are the purebloods? It's men and women who have their genetic integrity intact, who have avoided the vaccines, who have sufficient nutrition to be able to repair DNA damage, who have sufficiently avoided the chemical castration herbicides in the food supply, in the consumer products, in the personal care products, the body lotions, all of these things. Who are the purebloods? And how many are there? And the answer is, there are not that many compared to the total population. The purebloods, those who still have genetic viability for not just their offspring, but also grandchildren, is definitely less than half of the current human population, and it's getting smaller, shrinking by the day. And right now, they are injecting 30 million people a day with the spike protein generating vaccines, the mRNA vaccines, 30 million people a day. Those are 30 million people who ultimately will not be able to reproduce. Those are 30 million people per day being pruned out of the human gene pool, which is exactly the point of these vaccines. Now then, I ask you this question. After they inject half the world or more with vaccines that damage the DNA repair mechanism, how could they instigate a genetic dissolution? In other words, how could they destroy the genes and cause mass mutations and kill off those people with massive cancers? How could they do that? Very simple, folks. Very simple. Have a series of nuclear accidents that subject the world to radiation. And it doesn't even need to be very much radiation. It could be another Chernobyl accident. And by the way, Chernobyl itself is not yet done. And we're going to talk about that here in a second. It could be another Fukushima. And Fukushima is not yet done. They still haven't shut that down. It's still producing deadly radiation, and they're still releasing the water from Fukushima into the Pacific Ocean right now. Now, Chernobyl, and what year was that? 1986, I think. In the former Soviet Union, modern-day Ukraine, near Kiev, Chernobyl was, of course, a Soviet-style nuclear reactor that went into a meltdown, and there was an explosion. I would guess that was a hydrogen explosion, and it blew active nuclear fuel rods all over the place and onto the roof and everything. There was a pretty nice docu-series, I think, by HBO last year or so that explained all of that. Fascinating little documentary. Now, cesium-137 emits a strong ionizing radiation. Even someone who has not taken vaccines can be killed by cesium-137 exposure, obviously. And there are other radioisotopes, but cesium-137 is the most prolific following these nuclear accidents because it has about a 29-year half-life. And typically when it comes to radioisotopes, you have to figure, you have to go through 10 half-lives in order to consider it to be basically gone, which means that cesium-137 contamination lasts about 3 centuries, roughly in, let's say, 300 years. Cesium, because it mimics the biological pathways of potassium, when cesium falls on the soils, cesium gets into the grass. The grass is eaten by cows, and it goes into the cow's milk. So if you have cows and you have dairy operations, if you're growing food anywhere near a nuclear accident where there's cesium-137, you will have radioactive milk. You will have radioactive food. And this is why, of course, they had to evacuate the area around Chernobyl. Now, if you're subjected to a little bit of radioactive milk and you have a healthy DNA repair mechanism working in your body, you can handle that. You can drink a little bit of radioactive milk. In fact, as you know, I love to eat bananas, and bananas are a little bit radioactive. Did you know that? They are. I don't worry about it because I have a functioning DNA repair mechanism, thank goodness, because I'm not giving up the bananas, nor the avocados for that matter. So I eat a lot of bananas, and I'm fine with it. But if I couldn't repair DNA, bananas would turn me into a mutant. And if you ate radioactive food or drank radioactive milk near Chernobyl, and you didn't have a DNA repair mechanism, it would turn you into a mutant there as well. Now, Chernobyl is not yet over. They built a giant esophagus over the old Chernobyl nuclear power plant. That giant esophagus was completed, I think, only a year ago, or maybe it was 2 years ago. It's relatively recently that they finished that up. And it was a giant building with that they built right next to Chernobyl, and then they slid it in place. I mean, they built giant tracks. It's obviously, you know, thousands of tons, and maybe hundreds, maybe millions of tons. I don't know. A massive steel structure, and they slid it over Chernobyl because you couldn't obviously send in crews to just build a building around Chernobyl because they would die of radiation poisoning. So they built it next door, and then they pushed it into place. This building is made of steel, and the steel is painted, and the integrity of the steel that keeps the roof on this thing depends on it being kept dry. And how do you keep steel dry? Well, you have to run massive air conditioners. And so right now, in modern-day Ukraine, the Chernobyl nuclear catastrophe, which is only about one half-life into the necessary 10 half-lives, okay? So it's only been, well, let's say a little over 30 years. So the cesium-137 radiation has only gone down by a little more than half, and that's it, okay? There's like 270 more years to go. For 270 years, they have to keep air conditioning the inside of this building and hope that there's no rust. Because if there's rust, the steel will fail and this new building will collapse, and then it will re-release all the radiation that's still remaining on Chernobyl. And as you may recall from the 1986 accident, that radiation went all over Western Europe and parts of Russia, but I think the primary winds blew to the west, if I'm not mistaken, but I'd have to check that. Anyway, they picked it up, the radiation, in many other countries. And that radiation actually circled the globe in the Northern Hemisphere, as did Fukushima radiation in 2011. All right? And that's not yet contained either. So, in other words, for the next 270 years, if those air conditioners stop at Chernobyl, then the steel will eventually rust and fail and collapse, and that's going to all get re-released, the remaining radiation. Now, what keeps the air conditioning going in modern-day Kiev, Ukraine? Well, coal-fired power plants. What energy source is in short supply in Ukraine, or even much of Western Europe right now? Coal, of course, coal. What would happen in a global economic collapse? You would have a collapse of the power grid. You would lose the ability to run the air conditioners that prevent the giant esophagus from collapsing onto Chernobyl. The reason I say all of this is because it's very easy for globalists to engineer a catastrophic release of radiation and blame it on the old Soviet Union. All they have to do is cut off the power grid to that part of Ukraine for a while and suffer some rust or some kind of, you know, metallurgy collapse, and boom, they have a radiation release throughout the Northern Hemisphere. Same thing with Fukushima. They can have another accident in Fukushima. Oops, there's been another tidal wave, right? Another underground earthquake, another tidal wave, and then the whole thing is worse again, and it's uncontained again. And then you could have two nuclear accidents in the Northern Hemisphere, and you have a lot of radiation then circling the globe, which normally is not a problem, but when people have the spike protein injections and they have the DNA repair suppressed, then suddenly they can't repair the mutations, and they're becoming mutants, and they're growing cancers like never before. Suddenly, 10 times faster cancer rates among those who were injected. So, what if the vaccine, what if they really didn't want to kill people from blood clots? Because that hasn't been a huge percentage yet of the total number of people vaccinated. Although it's a pretty large number because they've injected so many people, but in terms of a percentage, it's pretty small. This is not designed to kill people with blood clots and heart attacks. What if it's designed to kill people with cancers? Cancers that are augmented by the deliberate release of additional ionizing radiation that circles the globe, that is in the air. And there's something else I have to tell you about. And that is forest fires. So did you know that forest fires re-release radioisotopes? And that's because many forests have grown since Chernobyl and since Fukushima. And those forests have incorporated cesium and other elements into the structure of the trees and the leaves and the bark and everything else. And in other words, they have captured a certain amount of these radioisotopes as elements that have become part of the structure of the plants. Oh, and by the way, they've also captured mercury. Every time there's a forest fire in the United States, let's say a big fire in California or Oregon, one of the western states typically, and there are also big fires in Europe and so on, every time there's a fire, did you know that there's a massive release of mercury? It's a well-known fact. You can look it up. I'm not going to bother to look it up because it'll just be a science article that tells you the same thing that I just said. That's usually the case when I look up science articles. It's like, and I just said that. Okay. When these forest fires are releasing mercury, they're also releasing other radioisotopes. I'm not saying mercury is a radioisotope. I mean other isotopes that are radioactive. So again, cesium-137, could be radioisotopes of strontium, even uranium, and so on. But again, cesium is typically the most relevant one here on this time scale. We're not worried about iodine-131, for example, because its half-life is only 7 days, so it's long gone by the time a forest burns. But cesium, you know, sticks around for 3 centuries. So when forests burn, you get more cesium pollution in the atmosphere, which will cause vaccinated people to become mutants, obviously, as we just talked about through the DNA repair suppression mechanism. So would you be surprised if we had record forest fires happening next year? Interesting, isn't it? Weather weapons, droughts, directed energy weapons, DEWs. Have you heard about DEWs? Yeah, if not, look those up, because there's a lot of fires in California that appear to have been started by directed energy weapons. Now, wouldn't it be incredibly convenient for globalists to cover up the vaccine deaths by staging a nuclear accident and then blaming the cancers on the nuclear accident? Oh, yes, yes, yes. Very insidious little clever plan, isn't it? Everybody's dying of cancer all of a sudden. The media needs an excuse. Well, guess what? Look what happened over here. You know, Fukushima got out of control again, or there was another accident somewhere, or maybe they could set off one in the United States with an act of terrorism, you know, planned deep state terrorism. Or maybe they could even blame Islamic terrorism, or who knows? Maybe they'll blame the anti-vaxxers and be like, anti-vaxxers attacked this nuclear plant in California. Whatever. They're going to come up with something that gives them the excuse to explain all the cancers. And that's what they need, because they can never admit that the vaccines are designed to kill people and depopulate the planet. So they need a cover story. So one cover story is the weakening magnetosphere. Another cover story could be a nuclear accident, nuclear terrorism, or the resurgence of Fukushima or Chernobyl or something else. Now, to shift gears just a little bit, I've kind of wrapped up that discussion there about, you know, pure bloods and DNA damage and so on. Another cover story could be smallpox, as I talked about yesterday. But there's been additional news on smallpox that I really needed to bring to you today. Let me bring it up here. From Bloomberg.com, there's a company called SIGA, S-I-G-A, and they're reporting their financial results for the third quarter, and they are reporting a record sales of TPOX, T-P-O-X-X. This is their smallpox drug, and they're reporting $113 million in sales of TPOX to the U.S. government. And they state in their report here on Bloomberg that they already delivered 30% of that in October. Okay. And they call this the Orthopox Health Security Preparedness. Yeah. So ask yourself this question. As we talked about yesterday, Bill Gates announcing, oh, sure would be bad if there were smallpox terrorists releasing smallpox in the U.S. airports. Remember that? That was Bill Gates. And then Yahoo News and other outlets all reported that, and they reported there were smallpox vials discovered at the Merck lab. And I forgot, was that near Philadelphia, I think? Yeah. And those are illegal for Merck to have. Why would a drug company that makes vaccines have smallpox vials in their lab? Brings up lots of questions, possibly related to 12 monkeys. And then on top of that, you have the U.S. government buying $113 million worth of TPOX, the number one drug to treat smallpox pandemic, smallpox infections. Why would the government be buying so much smallpox treatment drugs here? What's behind that? Obviously, the government knows what's about to happen. They know that there's going to be a release. They know that, or at least it's a very high risk. And this is a continuity of government operation. So for the same reason that governments have massive underground cities that are stockpiled with food and ammunition and communications and everything. They're also buying smallpox medicine, but they're not telling you about it, are they? No, you haven't seen Biden or anyone from the government say to the American people, hey, you might want to get ready for a possible smallpox attack. No, because they want that to be a surprise for you. Surprise, smallpox is at your door. And the way they're going to release this, by the way, is they're going to use aerosolized smallpox nanoparticles dropped via drones over the cities, which is exactly the same way that they caused the so-called COVID pandemic in New York City in, what, February of 2020. So this operation, oh, and by the way, they've been dropping with drones. They have been dropping biological weapons over other U.S. cities ever since. Wherever they want to cause an outbreak, they can accelerate it with toxic nanoparticles, you know, spike protein, basically. They can also drop these weapons on people's individual homes. This is what happened to Steve Quayle, as he explained in my recent interview with him, which is fascinating. If you want to watch that, it's on my channel on Brighteon. His home was targeted with toxic nanoparticle bioweapons that were specifically dropped probably by helicopter on his home. And they almost killed him, but he did survive. But they can do this to cities. They can do it in corporate buildings. They're actually already doing it. They can do it to air supplies and universities, you know, everywhere. They just drop them in the open air. So when the deep state is about to go down, or when they want to create a sufficient crisis to cancel the midterm elections, or if they want to exacerbate the collapse of the dollar, anytime they want to, they can just launch the drones with the smallpox, drop it on the cities, and cause a massive outbreak, blame terrorism, and then start funneling hundreds of billions of dollars into corporations like Merck and Pfizer for smallpox vaccines. Meanwhile, the government people who knew all this was coming are hiding in their underground bunkers, sucking down TPOX that they stockpiled from the company called SIGA. You got that? Got all that? So remember, their goal is massive depopulation. They've already decided that they are going to survive underground while they destroy anyone living on the surface of the earth. And the means of destruction can include radiation, genetic damage, more biological weapons such as smallpox, economic collapse, and the collapse of the rule of law, which will lead to violence and chaos, and of course, disease, famine. Basically, the four horsemen of the apocalypse on steroids. Maybe it's even more than four. Maybe it's like the 12 horsemen of the apocalypse. You know, it's like death and famine and crop failure and disease and locusts and frogs and everything falling out of the sky. Whatever they can come up with, they're going to do it all at probably around the same time to the surface of the earth while they hide out in their underground bunkers and take their medications and count their gold coins. You know what I mean? That's what we're looking at. Now, I know this paints a pretty dark picture of things to come, but I'm not here to sugarcoat it. This is survivable. Number one, you have to protect your blood. Don't take the spike protein. Have good nutrition. Learn how to grow your own food. All the things that we talk about here. You've got to be able to survive the so-called zombie apocalypse wave of all of this, which is the desperate, mutating, monstrous-looking, starving humans with their brains half-eaten, you know, the reptilian brainstem hordes of former humans spilling out of the cities looking for food. There will be a zombie apocalypse wave to this. That's survivable. Zombies are not that cognitively functional. You can outthink them. I'm not going to go into details of that at the moment, but there are ways to defeat them. But you do need to be far from the cities, obviously. In order to do that, you've got to stockpile all your supplies, your water filters. You need to be self-sustaining, need to be able to live off-grid for at least a year. And again, you have to protect your genetic integrity. When they release smallpox, you will need to self-isolate. No joke. You're going to need to lock yourself down. I'm already planning to do this. if they start talking about smallpox being released in a major city, or, you know, hundreds of people getting smallpox, I'm going into lockdown mode. This is when you're going to want to have your satellite phone, you know, that I always talk about here because they're a sponsor of this, SAT123.com. I'm going to be putting out daily alerts at that time via the satellite network. You'll be able to get the text on your phone. And by the way, the website to sign up for those alerts is Galileo, but it's spelled funny, GALILEYO.com. Galileo.com. I think there is a monthly fee. You can sign up for text alerts from myself and Steve Quayle and Doug Hagman and many others. I didn't intend to plug that today. It just came up organically here, but I'm going to be broadcasting as long as I can. I'm going to be using a backup communications to keep in touch with people, planning to live off grid for a year if necessary. Smallpox, if it hits, seriously, folks, I'm locking down. Our operations will be locked down. We will not have employees making food. We will not be shipping. In fact, nothing in society will function. There will be no transportation. There will be no economic activity. A smallpox release will shut down society like you've never seen. I mean, it will make 2020 look like a walk in the park because smallpox is highly contagious and has a very high fatality rate. It's going to be, you're going to be on your own if they do that. And don't forget that under the cover of smallpox or whatever they end up doing, Marburg, Ebola, some weird new hemorrhagic fever, who knows? Under the cover of that, they can come, yank you out of your home, take you to a concentration camp, put a bullet in your head, bury you in a mass grave. So as one of our listeners has warned in the Prophetic Dream podcast that I have separately here today, don't get on the bus. Don't get on the bus, because the bus is taking you to the modern day equivalent of Auschwitz. It's a concentration camp for mass death. Don't get on the bus. Don't even be living in a neighborhood where the bus comes to pick up people. Don't be anywhere where they're going to go door to door and try to drag people out of their homes. Don't participate in any kind of a list gathering exercise where they mark you down as being unvaccinated. And by the way, if they come to your door, this is happening in Houston right now, they're going to people's doors. The health department knocking on people's doors. You maybe have seen this video recently, and they're asking people, have you been vaccinated? Have you been vaccinated? Right? How many people are living here? How many people have been vaccinated? You should just don't answer the door, but you can yell through the door, yeah, we're all vaccinated. All of us. Yeah, we got them all. And then they'll ask you, which one did you get? Which one? You just yell out, you know, Pfizer, whatever. You do not want to be marked down as being unvaccinated, because that's the kill list that they're creating. That's the kidnap, you know, FEMA camp, death camp list that they're creating. They're going to take you to the camps and they're going to murder you. I'm sorry to be so blunt about it, but this is the obvious plan at this point. So an interesting aspect of all of this is that you, being a pure blood person, you can safely move around in the sunlight. It won't be long before the vaccinated spike protein people realize they cannot handle sunlight without being disintegrated genetically. So they will tend to move around at night, which is appropriate as they're creatures of the night, undead creatures, zombies, and so on. So the nights are going to be when they come out. The what's the song? The freaks come out at night. The freaks come out at night. It's not just the freaks, it's the vampires, it's the zombies, it's the mutants, it's the vaccine enforcers, because they're all vaccinated and they can't handle sunlight. So they're going to be coming out at night, and that's when, and just like Will Smith in the I Am Legend movie, that's when you got to be ready to shut the steel shutters, you lock the door, barricade the windows, everything, hide in the tub with your AR-15 because the zombies are coming, right? At night. That's when they will move around, because that's the only time they can. They can't handle sunlight. What would be an especially useful piece of equipment in this scenario for spotting zombies at night? Oh, yes, a thermal spotting scope. A thermal spotting scope. That's right. The best one I've found so far is the H35 made by Steiner, a German, I think it's a German company. Yeah, Steiner, as we say in English, or Steiner. Very high quality, great resolution, amazing focus, good long-range sensitivity. It's pretty amazing stuff. I love that. That's actually my favorite one. The ATN stuff is just so-so. Pulsar makes some pretty decent stuff, I've heard. But the Steiner thermal scope is the best I've seen yet. But it's pricey. You know, it's a few thousand dollars. So, you know, and add that to your equipment purchase list. Add it to your, like, zombie protection list. Need a thermal scope. Need some, like, silver-tipped crossbow bolts, you know, for the undead. flaming, whatever, you know. I'm still waiting for my crossbow, so I don't know when that's going to show up. Apparently never. It's probably stuck on a container ship, but whatever. Oh, and of course, don't forget the copper 5.56 rounds for your AR-15. They are the hunting rounds. I think they're made by Barnes or Berger. They're called Vortex, or VOR-TX, and they're copper tipped. And those are really good rounds for your AR-15. They also make them in some other calibers like 308 Winchester and so on. Maybe 7.62x39, I'm not sure. So anyway, there we go, folks. That's kind of my analysis for you. I know the themes are very, very dark today, but all of this hit me, connecting these dots on DNA damage, magnetosphere, nuclear terrorism, deep state operations, false flag operations, how they're going to achieve global depopulation, you know, pure bloods versus contaminated blood, all of that. It all came together into this podcast. So that's what I'm sharing with you today. I hope I'm wrong about all this, but sadly, as you've seen over the last 2 years, I've been a lot more right than wrong about things I've been warning about. In fact, I warned in 2019, in my speech in Branson, Missouri, I warned about bioweapons and vaccines and depopulation and how they're conducting ethnic cleansing on a planetary scale to prepare Earth for a post-human future. I did that whole talk in Branson in, I think it was September of 2019, and sadly, it's all come true. So what I'm seeing now is pretty frightening stuff. The good news is it is survivable. There is justification to keep our faith in God and Jesus Christ as our Savior. And I'm going to continue to read the Bible, understand it, learn from it. There's so much wisdom in it right now for our time. Everything I read in the Bible applies to today. That's what's so amazing. It's hard for me to read the Bible because I have to stop at every page. I'm like, oh my God, they're talking about now. Literally everything. The Bible is kind of this hologram that represents everything, which I guess is the whole point. And it is a divine document, so that kind of makes sense. But it's hard for me to wade through it because I can't just read it and go, oh yeah, turn the page, let's read this page. No, I read it and I'm like, ah, no way. Like, how are we making that mistake again on a planetary scale, right? It's heavy stuff for me to read. It's like the Bible right now is the most horrifying book I've ever read at the moment. I mean, seriously, I mean, don't hold that against me. It's horrifying for humanity, but there is, of course, hope with God ultimately. But if you really understand what the Bible is saying, you should be horrified because humanity is going down that same path right now, and mass murder, genocide, atheism, demonism, transgenderism, all of it, rejecting God, Sodom and Gomorrah. Here come the fireballs, mountains of fire raining down from the heavens. The sun and the moon turn dark as sackcloth with goat hair, whatever it says there. I forgot all the words, but kind of obvious. Cosmic stuff is about to be unleashed. So that's my report, folks. That's my report. Pray to God for wisdom and protection as we move through this time. You are going to see mass death. You're going to be swimming in it. We all are. You're going to see a world turned to such evil and destruction that you never could have imagined it. You were going to see the most horrific nightmare come to reality in society around us for a period of time. It will be defeated. It will go away. And on the other side, you're going to see the most amazing time of abundance, a golden age of awakening, of spirituality, of connection, of divinity. You're going to see an era that's unimaginable in terms of its positivity and love and uplifting of all of us. But we're going to go through the most hellish nightmare between now and then. And it's going to be tough for people. It's going to be tough. All right. So ponder all this weekend. Be safe. Be smart. Exercise discernment. And continue to get prepared for what's coming. All right. God bless you all. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your support. I'm with you. I'm doing my best just like you are every day. We are together. We will get through this together. All right. Have a great weekend. I'm Mike Adams. Take care now. A global reset is coming. And that's why I've recorded a new 9-hour audiobook. It's called The Global Reset Survival Guide. You can download it for free by subscribing to the naturalnews.com email newsletter, which is also free. I'll describe how the monetary system fails. I also cover emergency medicine and first aid and what to buy to help you avoid infections. So download this guide. It's free. It's my gift to you simply because I want like-minded people to survive.